Pascal, I'm assuming a day of mixed emotions for you as the leader of the coaching staff with such a great second half for the hockey club, but not preparing for the playoffs today.
Yeah, we the only feeling that I have right now is I feel empty. We feel we've been in a playoff mode since the Christmas break, so the end of December up to not the last game because it didn't matter, but the second last game. And so we've been pushing really hard, our players and ourselves, to give us a chance to make the playoffs. And realizing that it's not going to happen, it's going to take some time to deal with it, because it's certainly a disappointment. I'm disappointed for the players. We can talk about the schedule and what happened, but I'm disappointed for the players because they really deserve to be in the playoffs.
You know, as a coach, you take many calculated gambles during a year to try and get the players in the right frame of mind and to get them to execute to the best of their abilities. I would guess one of the bigger gambles you took was having that meeting and laying out the sort of targets for the team to try and make it to the playoffs. You have to be so pleased with the way they responded.
Well, from that moment, we had 24 points in the standing in first half, and then we needed 88 points. We felt we needed 88 points, and I looked at the schedule and the history of the teams making the playoffs. So we're talking about after the Christmas break, and we're telling our team that we need 88 points after having only 24. So we laid it down game by game. We had different blocks, how many games and against who, and which games we needed for sure to win, and then right till the end of the season. And it was a lengthy meeting, but we were all in this together and exchanging and talking and what we should do all together. And we came up short, 85 points, three short. I feel that we came pretty close, but we needed to play for 700 second half. And asking this to our players didn't make sense, in the sense that it wasn't realistic. But in the position we were at that moment, which was being last in the league, not only last in our division, but being realistic at that moment would have meant just going through the motion of the season, finishing the season, and we had no chance. In order for us to give ourselves a chance to make the playoffs, we couldn't be realistic. We had to think big and really big, and we did. And guys responded well. We played for 650 the last 47 games of the season. But when you look at the season, Mitch, first 20 games, or first 10 games, we play for 600. All right, so that's not bad. That's not bad of a start after losing the first two games badly. But you still play for 600 the first 10 games. Then the next 10, you play for the 20. After 20 games, we're at 500. And then things started to go not so well. And then we hit the California trip. And from game 21 to 29, we won one game in that stretch. And that's where it cost us the season. But we had 11 players out of the lineup, but with injuries. So that meeting was big. But at the end of the day, words are cheap. The guys had to take that, think about it, and go out there and do it. And that's, to me, that's quite impressive.
So one of the things that you wonder about in these situations is, why did it work, and why did they take it to heart, and why were they able to do what they did? And is there an easy explanation for that?
I think so. I think there's an easy explanation. It's because they care. They care for each other. They were in this, and even when we were struggling, they tried to be to run their routes, to work hard. There's not too many games, and you've seen pretty much all of them. There's not many games that we can say we were outworked. Even when we had that stretch of nine games, we worked hard, and they cared. I mean, the first half, we're still playing. So the first, not the first half, but the first 10 games, we play for 600 with something like 14 new players on the team. And those guys are learning the system and the culture of the Winnipeg Jets, Manitoba Moose. And there's quite a few adjustments that has to be made from their part. They don't know each other. We lost Cormier. We lost Kramer. Big key players, leadership players. On our team, and so we had a lot of guys that didn't know each other. They know about each other, but they didn't know each other, and it takes time to make a team. But the work ethic and the ability to be coachable was there, and that's really important to us. They wanted to do the right thing, and to me, it's an easy explanation because they just worked hard and with a purpose, and there's no perfect system. There's a system, on ice system, X's and O's, and the mindset that you have becomes perfect when everybody's on the same page. And that's what we had, even when we were struggling. And the one thing I feel like, the one thing they did extremely well is they never gave up. They always believed that we could do it. And even in games, how many times did we come back in the third period? And it doesn't happen at the pro level, but we kept believing. We were in games no matter what, and that's we have to acknowledge what those guys have done, because it's quite amazing.
There's a few numbers that stand out to me. One is 39 wins, second most in the Central Division. Another is 25 wins at home, which ties a franchise record in the long and storied history of the Manitoba Moose. And maybe another is not exactly a number, but with three games to go in the regular season, you go out on the road with a chance to finish as high as second place after everything you've been through. Just thoughts on those elements of your season.
Yeah, well, when the number of wins were right there, eighth in the league, winning percentage were, I believe, 16th in the league. We're right there. Goals against were 13th in the league. The one thing that hurt us a little bit during the season is scoring goals. We weren't scoring goals easy. So we had to win those 2-1, 3-2 games. And then if we were giving four, we were in trouble. It's not like we were relying on our skills like we could last year. So it was that part was a bit more difficult for ourselves, but there's a lot of good numbers, and scoring goals, you can see it with our power play. The link is right there. The ability, we were working hard, we were trying to make our plays and bring pucks to the net, but the finishing part of it, our top scorer is 29th in the league. It tells you a little bit that scoring was an issue for us, but it doesn't mean you can't win, and we've proved it. When you play as a team, for 47 game, we played at a rate of 650, so that's a pretty good rate.
Yeah, the goals against are down and the penalty kill is up, and you give yourself a chance to win those close games. Just as you consider some of the individuals on the team this year, and I won't make you go one by one, but Eric Comrie was named the team's MVP, Logan Stanley, the Rookie of the Year, Tucker Poolman, the top defenseman. Thoughts on some individuals? Logan Shaw, of course, with a tremendous 29 goals. Seth Griffith leads the team in scoring. Thoughts on some of the individual performers?
Yeah, well, the good thing about what we've been through before Christmas is the fact that we were forced in many ways to play guys in position that there's no way they would have played if our lineup would have been a bit more healthy. And so it gave us a chance to play a lot of guys and evaluate a lot of guys. And I think that helped us the second half. So the guys had a little bit more confidence about their game and knowing what needs to be done. But I think it'd be wrong for me to single out one or two guys. Eric Comrie was our MVP, no doubt. I wish Tucker Poolman would have been a bit more healthier this season. But he was our him and Cam Schilling were, I mean, you could debate who was our top D. They've played extremely well together as a team. So, but there's a lot of guys like Logan Stanley, where he was when, and you guys remember seeing him at 17 years old or 18 years old when he first came here, and where he is today. He's a force out there. That game in San Diego, we won 5-1. It's a physical game. It's in your face, and he's probably the best player on the ice, making amazing plays. But more than that, having a strong presence on the ice. He scored some big goals. The goal in Grand Rapids, what a shot. And so there's a lot of good things. Veselainen, starting the season with us after being sent down, and then he makes a decision that we needed to respect to go back to the KHL, and then he comes back here with a great attitude, giving his best. So there's a lot of players we could talk about, you know, and so many young players as well, and McKenzie and those guys that Burden, the way he's been playing for us. So it's, you know, it was a good season of evaluating our young prospects, but I think to single out one or two guys to say that they made a difference or not, I don't think it's right.
Well, how about this from a developmental point of view? You talk about the importance of the second half of the season. What about getting young players the opportunity, any player the opportunity to play almost 3 months of playoff hockey? What does that do for that young individual?
Well, that's the one thing, right? So that's the one thing that we feel is really important at the American League level for the Moose. And that's our mindset as an organization. And I was told when I got the job is to put them in a winning environment. And now the question was, okay, let's define winning. And it was to put ourselves in a position to play meaningful hockey as long as we can. And the goal is to make the playoffs, obviously, but not at the cost of not developing our young guys. So there's a fine line. It could be tricky at times because, you know, as a coach, game is 2-1, there's 2 minutes left, and you want to send your older guys on the ice. But no, we send our young guys and as well. Not that we don't send our older guys, but we put our guys in position, especially before Christmas, so they get some valuable ice time and ice time that really matters. And, you know, for us to be in the playoff position until the end, it means a lot. We feel that we've been in the playoffs for almost 4 months now, because we had to. Every game was important. Every game we needed the points. So it's a playoff mindset. And I really feel that, you know, two more points and we're in the playoffs. I don't think too many teams in our division want to meet us, because we had the right mindset. That's huge to us, being able to be in a position to have those games, play those games, and, you know, having those games really meaning something. There's nothing like it, because the first year, if you remember, it was a tough season, and the last 10, 12 games of the season didn't mean anything, and we felt I didn't do a good job enough to put our team in a position to work for a playoff spot, and we need our young players to be in that position to develop them, to create the right mindset, the Jets Moose culture, and those games are really important. So it was for that matter, it was a good second half.
From a growth perspective, what did you notice in your captain? Because Peter Starkovich's first year as captain of the Manitoba Moose, what kind of growth did you notice in him?
Well, you know, taking over after a guy like Patrice Cormier is, these are pretty big shoes to fill. But Stoyo is a very smart man, hardworking guy. I felt early in the season, he just was trying to find a way to be himself and to lead the team. He needed some help, like every captain does. So guys like when we added Shaw, it was a big help for him. When we Ryan White is a tremendous human being, so he needed some help. But for him personally, I think at first he was just, you know, evaluating, I guess, the position he was in and how could he become the best captain he can be, and comparing himself to Patrice Cormier would have been wrong, in the sense that he's not Patrice Cormier and Patrice Cormier is not Peter Stoykovich. So he needed to be himself, and he found that his ways really quick in the season, and he led by example. He's a I think the one thing he needed to adjust is the communication with the coach. Because as a captain, I like to speak to that guy quite a bit and get his feel for what's going on. And then and Patrice and I were talking quite a bit. And this year, as the season went on, he felt more comfortable talking to me. And when we say talking, it's being honest. It's not like sugarcoating anything. It's if something's not going right or they feel we do something that they don't like, we need to know if we want to improve. And same thing on the other side. So having those honest, hard conversations, we did have them. And it's only going to get better. He's going to be our captain next year. But I thought he did an amazing job. First-time captain at the pro level. It's a hard job. But he's I'm very very impressed with the way he handled the whole thing.
And one player you mentioned and talk about help is Ryan White. And while people might not realize how much of an influence he had off the ice with this group, just how important was he? Because, you know, when you talk to the players, everybody mentions him as a big driver on this team.
Well, if you've been part of any sports or any team, I'm not even sure that it relates only to sport. But if you're part of a team and you have somebody that is driving people, it means so much. Because once you have that guy, and we say he's good in the room, what does it mean really? Being good in the room is making sure that everybody's ready to play when the game starts. And that's what they've been. That's what Ryan White does. He's a guy that makes sure that everybody's ready to play, and he doesn't take anything for granted. He's got experience as an NHL player. He's been in different organization. He's been paying a high price, a heavy price to play in the NHL. He had to fight and grind and then play that kind of game. So he's respected right away. But having a voice like him in the room and having a guy like him pushing the team, even though he's playing minutes of a guy under 10 minutes and under some games, he's still on the bench. He's still very much alive. It pushes everybody. It's an attitude, and that's really contagious, and it forces the other guys to give their best all the time. And that's what he brought. That's what he did. And to me, he was a huge reason why we were able to stay in the fight the whole season.
Pascal, you talked about progress with players, but what about you? Is this your best job as a head coach?
I think as a staff, it has to be right there. You're never alone in those. As a coach, you're never alone as far as success or the failures. But it has to be way up there, because I think what we did right is we stayed in the fight with the boys and the guys, and we kept believing in them. And you sense that as a person, you feel when, you know, when the guy next to you, the guy in front of you, believes in you, and we believed in them. And our coaching staff, I thought, did a great job at keep pushing and staying positive, because it would have been easy to just, I don't want to say give up, because nobody would give up, but to become negative and look at why things are not going our way and pointing fingers and stuff like that. But we didn't do that. We stayed away from that, and we stayed true to ourselves, and we stayed true to what needs to be done. And that was the goal, to take care of today. We'll take care of today, and tomorrow will come quick enough, and yesterday there's nothing we can do about it. So I thought our coaching staff did a good job, yes.